Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
For most people, exams are something we survive rather than enjoy. And lots of students around Australia are now at the pointy end of the school or university year with exam time fast approaching. Are there ways to do better at study? Do you know your learning style? And what can you do to stay calm in those periods leading up to and even during the exams? Professor Justin Bielby is the Vice-Chancellor of Torrens University, Australia. And if anyone has some insider tips on passing exams, well, my guess is it's the bloke who's the University Vice-Chancellor. Professor Bielby, welcome to Open House.
It's a pleasure.
And did you have trouble in exams?
I've always had trouble in exams. I've done them for many years in many different ways, and I've had to adjust to learn my own style to educate and prepare for exams. And I think we all, as students or parents or someone doing older training, we all have a way to remember and to work with exams to prepare for them.
It is interesting. The stress that parents go through is not the same by any means as the stress their children went through, but we have the additional problem of remembering what it was like and also seeing our kids go through it, which can be, in some cases, quite heartbreaking.
It is very difficult. I think the thing that I've learned over many years, it's really, really important that the parents and the family give the kids space, but also do things like help them to relax. So one of the things I think is really important is to make sure they sleep well, they eat well, they look after their health, they focus on their sessions so they're not sitting there grinding away hours on end, because that just doesn't work anymore. Short, focused sessions where you get your key items worked through so you can clarify, then a break is really important as we prepare for exams now, Stephen.
You're saying that long swatting sessions, Justin, don't work anymore. Did they ever work?
I don't think they ever worked. I think basically, you felt like you were doing the work, but the evidence is very clear. The information now is clear that 2 to 3 hours of focused work on a couple of specific topics, you finish it, you move on, you go and have a break, you go for a walk, you go for a run, or you do something that just chills and settles you down, is really where it's so much more clear.
It is good, isn't it? Neuroscience is making us much more aware of how we learn properly.
Yeah, very much, very much. Look, I think the other thing that's happening is we're also learning that every student is different. Every person, individual is different. For example, I like working on my own, that's in a solitary model, and working through some issues and clarifying what I'm trying to do to learn. But other people like working in groups, and I often see students now working really well in groups because they can bounce off each other and work through a series of questions. Other kids like to using pictures or mind maps or colours. People like repeating the mnemonics and memorising information into a rhythm or a song or a rhyme. And then the other two that I think is people using verbal or physical, such as flashcards. And the other thing I often do, and many people do, is create lists and key points that fit together in mnemonics or words. I think the thing is, as a student and as an adult, as I said, is finding what works for you and looking back over where you've been successful with previous exams of what techniques you've used that have actually worked for you and highlighting that space.
Let's look at these 7 different learning styles. Let's start with the visual style of learning and studying.
For example, often when I'm talking to students, they'll draw maps or pictures and they'll highlight elements in it. They'll be reading a literature article or a book and they'll colour highlights at specific segments, tick them off. So that's really quite common. They'll be mapping a health system or a business model that they use pictures to actually draw and clarify, Stephen.
I remember going to university and slavishly trying to write down what was said. It was only after I'd completed, finished uni, moved on, I realised that really it's best for me to mind map stuff, just draw ideas, connect the ideas, and that always brings to mind what I was trying to capture.
Correct. And that works for you, Stephen, which is fantastic. Other people like to repeat key points or study and talk out loud.
The next two go together, oral and verbal learning styles.
A lot of people, they talk through a set of words that link together. So if you're looking at it, and the best one probably for me is health concepts, which is my area. We start looking at linking links between the bones and the joints, and looking at how you put the knee joint together with the foot joint and the bones, the tibia and the fibula that fit with those. So they'll start to talk that through in a structure in their own mind that allows you to remember some of the anatomy that I did as a medical student many years ago. But otherwise, other times some people, I've actually seen students sort of repeat the key 5 or 6 points as they're giving a lecture. Then you might look at the business principles around economics or the design framework you're thinking through from a design thinker. So you might repeat the points like, and talk through, these are the key points I want to talk through in my essay around macroeconomics or science or looking at the issue around biology, and you repeat that language. You might look at how the different cells of the body, the parts of the cell that fit together from a science background. You might talk that through and actually talk that out loud as you're working through what you're trying to do, Stephen.
And so a parent or a sibling or boyfriend, girlfriend could help the person studying by saying, okay, just talk to me about what you know. Not really asking questions, because if you're talking into a vacuum, sometimes it's hard. Talking to a person means you've got to organise your thoughts in a logical sequence.
Yeah, very much so. Oftentimes when I've seen students in class, they'll have someone they'll be working with around, they're presenting their topic, and they'll bounce off each other the key points they're trying to get across, practice it in front of their family. It's a great technique if you're very verbal, and each of us, some people are great at that and love to hear the voices they talk things through.
Now, then there's the physical style, and this is an interesting one because over the years we've started to talk about people who have great sporting prowess. Those guys running around yesterday in the AFL Grand Final, for instance, they have great physical skill, physical intelligence, some people call it. Others call it kinesthetic skills. So a physical learner, what will they be like?
Well, the best one probably for me is they'll have a number of flashcards they'll work through. So if I think of maths concepts or, again, look at the biological concepts, they'll actually have cards they peel away as they look at, as they understand the shape, structure of the heart or the structure of the brain. The other one that I really like also is people I've seen with podiatry training, who people have got models of feet or models of hands if they're hands therapists, and they'll actually look at the models, map out their tendons and have a look at where they're going from there. So again, it's in an architecture model, people will be looking at their own design models and their principles they've put together. So that physical side is another work that gives you memories that are etched. You can clarify how in a medical sense, how the ligaments are joined together.
One of our kids, when he was a teenager, we found that he learned well by doing physical things. So he'd bounce on the trampoline as we asked him questions. The bouncing on the trampoline seemed to really help him just put that into some long-term memory.
I think it's about concentrating, you're physically jumping up down the trampoline and you're etching those things. So again, beautiful example of what we each do as students to retain the information we require.
Hmm. Now, what about the logical learner or studier?
This sound is processed by StereoTool. Go to StereoTool.com.
A strategic planning model. You'll unpack the key points you work through with the vision, etc., the tasks you're trying to complete, and they'll actually map it out and basically create lists to work through in their mind. There's many people who use lists to name items. To remember the key, for example, the planets of the Earth. I'll pick up a list from there. So that's a great way of working, if you like, if you're that methodical, thoughtful. And I often use that myself. I have lists of things I have to work through or things I'm trying to talk through at when I give a presentation.
Our guest on Open House is Professor Justin Bielby. He's Vice Chancellor of Torrens University, Australia. And we're talking through the different learning and also studying styles. And then we've got the social style.
I'm increasingly seeing kids studying in groups and students studying work and study with others where they can cross-pollinate ideas. So in our campuses across Australia, we have students working in small teams, checking each other's knowledge, checking whether they clarify the points and understanding it. And I think that's one of the areas that I think is growing in importance. As we learn to work in teams and work in groups, that whole area of being able to spend time with each other using their resources, whether that be their textbooks or going back to other options such as that you can get online, it's a fantastic tool for building structures, clarifying problems, and if parents see kids wanting to work together, it's actually really healthy, really healthy. So some they'll be spending sessions home with their friends and mates, and I think that's a great way to learn and growing in importance as we go forward.
Yes, interesting, because these days the high school certificate and its correlation exams around the country, it's asking kids to think through more than just the repetition of facts. In many cases, many subjects, it's now about analysis and being able to discuss a question. And so if you've not had the chance to study with others by discussing the question, perhaps you'll be ill-prepared for that.
Yeah, that's right. And I think what's happening with work and with education, that team building, problem solving, tackling difficult issues as teams is growing in importance. So if you're a natural learner and that's your style for learning groups, then it's a great base to build for the future, both in your education life but also in your working life, Stephen, as you go forward.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you, in fact, are the opposite in some respects. You're a solitary learner, and that's the last of our learning styles.
Yeah, no, I've been doing exams for a long time, for about 40-odd years, and had learnt to work on my own. However, increasingly, I'm changing my style when I'm learning new concepts. I really enjoy working with groups and solving problems now, so I've moved a little bit past the solitary side, but getting into that group solving, group analysis, group learning, which I think is really probably a mark of where we're going into the future. But however, some people love to work on their own and love to focus and work as in their own sort of at a desk or in another.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.